Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of six live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle, because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory-smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider, and also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
There's no place to escape to.
This is the last podcast.
On the left.
Side stories.
Live from your glade.
That's when the cannibalism started.
Side stories. Yes.
Man, I tell you what, the only thing, because of hours now of watching Marshall Applewhite talk.
Ooh, yeah, he's very charming.
Is he?
I don't know. I actually saw a video of him and I got it for the first time because you guys kept on being like, he's got pizzazz. And I'm like,
no,
I wasn't.
That's Marcus
was. But I did see a little flicker of the pizzazz. He has pizz. He almost has pizzazz. He's almost there. I get it.
I put it more towards the as.
Ooh.
Like if you also make it rhyme with ass, because yeah. I hate his face. He never answers a question.
No.
He just drones on and on and on and on. But the one thing he is correct about, no kids in a cult.
No kids in the cult. Absolutely not. Applewhite had that right. He doesn't like to be annoyed. And you know, he likes to keep things tidy, and kids do not.
No, they don't, and they are very hard to convince a child to get rid of its penis.
Well, we're not going to talk
it's
about
very
that.
Very hard.
Very difficult. All right, everyone, welcome to Side Stories. I am Ben, hanging out with Hollywood Henry Zebrowski. What a week it has been. January.
What a week it's been.
Starting off strong. A lot of Mjordir, a lot of mayhem, a lot of madness. And I'm not just talking about what the 49ers did to the Green Bay Packers in the NFC Championship game.
Yeah, but I hear you're weird. You're having an emotional response to it. I know you are. So I'm not going to go too deep. I don't want to go past the surface level about this. It seems to be a very big deal. I was in San Francisco for Sketchfest last weekend, and everyone was very... I don't know, committed, the emotions were high to this football game. And you know what I did? Because there was a bunch of people all around the sports bar watching the game. I walked away from that over, I was in the Oakland airport, I went over to Vino Volta, and I got myself a nice white wine and a Mediterranean plate, like I was a schedule woman for Hillary Clinton.
Isn't that nice? A real Dom DeLuise. You went fancy at the airport, huh? Do you think that's
just
a good
did
idea?
It for that one time.
You went? Did you get seafood at the airport? Because
no,
that's
never.
Highly, yeah, never do
never.
That.
No. I got hummus.
Okay, that's fine. That's safe. It can travel. It's good. There's no.
It's fine. It's just beans. It's a bean paste. It
Absolutely.
Doesn't matter. I like it because it's. I don't know, man. It's exotic mayonnaise. That's how I consider it.
It really is. It's great on toast, and you can dip some French fries in it.
Everything is more entertaining than listening to Marshall Applewhite speak. That is what is also nice, is that it sets the bar for how bored do you want to be. I was on hour six of watching his horseshit yesterday. I got so bored, I started watching L. Ron Hubbard speeches just to spice it up.
Well, I saw
I'm switching between the two.
Right.
Laughing and reminiscing with LRH, just thinking of his admiral's cap and how fun it would be to go and tie his ascots for him, And then all of a sudden, they go, back to Marshall fucking Applewhite. Now he hates pork chops and everyone should have carrots. And what's the difference between the soul, the mind, and the vehicle? Who gives a fucking shit?
Well, everyone should have carrots. They're very healthy, full of beta carotene. I had a bunch yesterday. Henry, I saw that you posted a picture of L. Ron Hubbard on social media. Yeah, you made your own meme, and it, my God, did it go viral. Why? Now, this is getting scary. This is getting scary because, you know, Applewhite, yes, 39 people, 38 people, including 39 including him.
I'm sick of this numbers game. And Marcus also started last episode.
Well, you said 40. It's not 40. These are human lives. You can't round up or round down. This is not the Iraq War.
I'm certain that in some way, some of them, if you took all the cum and the eggs out of all of these people that still had balls and the ones that hadn't hit menopause yet, I think if you pile them all together, that equals one. And also, 40 comes out better than 39. It just came out of my mouth better.
Yeah, I have no idea what any of that means. But, you know, the thing is, Henry, L. Ron Hubbard, I'm going to say this, overall in the grand scheme of life, has done more damage than Applewhite, and he made six people cut off their Johnsons.
We're not talking about...
And I still think that L. Ron Hubbard is worse because he ruined your business, Henry. He ruined everything that you hold sacred, the entertainment industry.
So much social damage.
You're going to do that?
Of course it's true. No. No. I'm saying I look up to LRH as a businessman.
You look directly into L. Ron Hubbard's eyes because you're the same size, and that is the sole reason why you like him.
I do. I appreciate his sexual candor. I appreciate his sharks. He's got an alligator smile. There's nothing corrected by Scientology. It's not about this. It's not about the Scientology end of it. It's just about being a fucking a go-to guy.
They ruined downtown Hollywood. Hollywood has two Scientology buildings. You can't avoid them. And right in the middle of both of the Scientology buildings is the star for Michael Jackson. So you are just surrounded by pedos and people who are trying to steal money
from
actors.
You're talking about the backbone and lifeblood of show business.
That is true.
It is inherently filled with criminals. That is the idea, and LRH understood that. But again, I'm only put into this position because I have ended up comparing the two of them in my own mind because I like to kind of see how these operate. I'm trying to learn how to be a boss because we have employees now.
Really? Okay. But one of the people that you're studying about how to be a boss from killed 38 people or had them commit suicide, and the other one forces them to not talk to their family, their friends, or have any outside communication whatsoever with anyone that's normal.
Keeps them focused on getting high-quality content out on the pipes of LPN. And that's what's really important here. I don't care what your Aunt Martha is doing. I don't care that your Uncle Phil's got feet cancer. Who gives a shit?
Right, all right, right.
But I'm not saying don't talk to your family. Just don't mix it into the office while we're sitting here all trying to figure out if I can get an extra subscription to the farmer's dog. Because honestly, some of the mush looks pretty good.
It looks better than the food that I eat.
Farmer's
dog. It is human grade. Farmer's dog is. You can get food delivered to your door for your dog.
We used to advertise for them.
Yes, we advertise for them. Like UPS is your dog's butler, and they show up, and then they show the food, and I swear to God, it is better than 90% of my meals.
We're not even being paid for this, Kissel. We're just saying this horseshit.
I'm just saying, and Puffett is like, I want it. But Henry, real quick, people love countdowns. Let's do the five most nefarious cult leaders, because I agree with you. L. Ron Hubbard and Applewhite compared to Shinrikyo, Jim Jones, and our other, and Warren Jeffs. I think Warren Jeffs is the worst.
I would put David Berg as the worst.
Oh, Children of God.
I would put David Berg. I would put Jim Jones. I would put Shoka Asahara.
Okay.
Those are all above them in terms of just being dangerous. And there's other cults that we haven't even really covered. Because then there's people like the Ant Hill cult, which apparently was very, very deadly.
The Ant Hill cult?
yes, we will cover that in a future episode of, of Last Podcast on the Left. But for my money, I mean, technically, I don't even really belong in Scientology. Where I really belong, if I was to really want to align myself, is I want to be a member of Order of the Solar Temple.
Right.
But my problem is that I'm too fucking fat boy American to get in there. They like all their all of these Swiss people are too quiet. Their voices are so low.
Right.
I think that I would harsh their vibe.
I could see that, but of course they do love the theatrics, and I think you would fit right in on that end. So at the very least, Applewhite and L. Ron Hubbard are not as bad as some of the worst cult leaders that we've covered. So at least you're interested by two of the better ones when it
L.
comes
Ron
to
L. Ron Hubbard is a sci-fi Martha Stewart. I mean it.
Well, he didn't go to prison.
No, exactly. He's better, technically. He didn't fucking have to cop to a rap route. But I also want to say there's also a weird thing going on. We've been hit up quite a bit, which is about the, I guess it's going to be Marty the Robot's first birthday.
Oh,
January
God.
25th.
What is and going so on?
We are celebrating the birthday of a, it's not even an employee.
No.
It doesn't do anything.
No. Okay, number one, you know there is a person. Let's call him Barry. Barry has been packing produce into bags for 30 years.
I just want to make sure that each one of these butter lettuces get inside of this display case without a bruise, because that's the only way I know I've been alive today.
And that is why Barry is the best employee in Costco history. They don't even know he's alive. They've never celebrated his birthday. As a matter of fact, they make a point to make him work double shifts on his birthday because they subconsciously know he might be happy that day. The fact that Barry is in a birthday party is horrible.
It's horrible. It's definitely, I mean, you know, I do believe that we should give robots a chance, but it's definitely normalizing the robot as an employee of, I think it's Giant Eagle, several other different stores. It might be Giant Eagle.
It's Giant Foods. But of course, that's all a lie because it's normal size food. We've talked about
very
it.
Very small. But what I also don't like about one thing, I guess that's what it is the thing about Marty is that it calls too much attention to itself. It has the googly eyes. Barry, who we talked about, knows to stay out of the direct view of the customer because he knows that the customer doesn't want to see him. He knows to scuttle in between and be unseen like a ninja, like a Bunraku shadow puppet.
Yes.
Puppeteer. Where your job is to be a shadow. You are not. He dresses in all black. He sneaks around. There was like a guy I remember when I did Wolf of Wall Street. There was a sound engineer who's one of the best in the fucking business. He used to wear this black suit with little black gloves. And he had this like gray ponytail pulled back and he was completely bald. Somehow he just had a ponytail.
I love
that. You know those guys?
Yeah, classic.
That's what I love.
I love it.
I love it. And he would go, his fingers would move so fast with the little pole, like the little boom pole.
Yeah.
And like you'd see him rotate it really fast. Deft, he was highly skilled.
Yes.
He wasn't trying to get all of his attention. He didn't need a birthday party.
No.
He didn't need a Christmas present.
No. All Marty does is beep at the sight of spills and makes a human come out from hiding and sweep it up. I don't like it whatsoever. And also,
Barry got a boss. Barry got a little shift
robot
managing boss that is an ATM with wheels.
But unlike a human boss, you can kill this boss with a screwdriver. I suppose you could also kill a human boss with a screwdriver, but that's all
you
need.
You can kill a human boss with a screwdriver. You can kill a human boss with a hammer. You can kill a human boss by hitting him with your car. You can kill a human boss by setting a fire to his home while he's sleeping there with his family. Then you get the family. A boss's family, that's 25 extra points.
A super cold carrot, a frozen pickle. You could use an icicle, like I learned from my new Sherlock Holmes game that I've been playing on PS4. Sorry, that's a small spoiler. I understand how many ways you can kill a boss. But my question is, when did Marty, we talk about this in the, well, this is a fun debate. Let's talk about when life begins.
you want to do this? You want to do this? You know what,
let's
you know
do
what
a deep
me?
Dive on that right now.
Life begins at my first Bud Light. That's what I say.
But when did Marty become alive? When did they say the first birthday began? Because was it when
January 25th?
That's when
I think it was the first time he attempted to mate with a female customer that was bent over trying to find a ripe pepper.
Well, and we've seen
and
stories.
Just bumped up against it, just bumped up behind it, be like, ah, oh, Marty is getting lust.
If you
thought the software is taking.
If you thought the Hollywood Me Too movement was a hot topic, wait until the robot finally gets called out for what it's doing. I get sent articles all the time because people know my stance and they say, "See, Ben, you're right." You would not believe how many Instagram messages I get that just say, "See, Ben, you are right."
You see, I feel like they're stoking a flame where I get many more of the same. Where you're like, "Ah, see here, they're renegade. They're helping us, Henry. They're helping us."
Oh my God! And now we're not going to talk about it because it's a little above our pay grade. But they're making frog robots.
Cool.
Oh my goodness.
What's bad about it? I'm fine with the little robot frog. What are you going to do with it?
Because then they're going to be like humans. They're like raising robots in like little dishes, and then they're going to be humans, and then they're going to be given human status. They're going to take your job, and they're going to have sex with your daughter. And then next thing you know, you're going to guess who's coming to dinner? It's a robot.
As long as that robot's got a job, he can do whatever he wants with my daughter.
That is a good point, as long as they're making some income.
He needs a job. He needs to add to the fucking. He needs to add to the household. All right. First of all, we're not having children, so I'm going to cut that out before I start getting furious emails congratulating me, like Marcus did. I'm not going to do that. But no. I will say I will allow a robot to be my butler or a gardener.
Okay. Well, I'm fine with being a butler, but I don't know about the gardener
and then
stuff.
I would treat both with just as much respect if they were a human.
Yeah, but you don't necessarily treat every you. I'm not.
I treat you so. I have so much respect.
What's your blood pressure right now?
I got it checked this morning, and it was 145/78, which is high technically.
But this is good for you.
I guess I had it one time. I had it over. I think it was 150/110.
You're like Archie Bunker.
But you said Kissel thought it would be a good idea for me to wear a little like smartwatch so it would beep every time my blood pressure goes up. And I was like, I just feel like you'd become so afraid of those beeps. Like
oh
we would have
God.
Like some hard business conversation. You just hear beep, beep, beep.
Oh my God.
Beep, beep, beep. It's like, Henry, are you mad about this? No. No. Absolutely not.
See? The beep worked. Calmed you down. All right. So Marty the robot, I'm not celebrating his first birthday. I don't like Marty. Wait until the robots actually can be intelligent. But we spoke about cults up top, and I guess this first story, it's sort of a religious cult story, right?
Let's just talk about this. This is a lot of fun.
Oh, I don't think so.
I don't know if that's the word for it. So this comes from I'm going to use this article from The Guardian. Oh, this is from the Associated Press in Panama City.
Yep.
Repent or die. Panama religious sect kills 7 in bizarre ritual. I'm glad they didn't use the word funny ritual or down-to-earth ritual or refreshing ritual.
Anytime 7 people are killed in a ritual, I think it's safe to say it's a bizarre ritual.
In an off-the-wall ritual. 7 people were killed in a funky, it says bizarre.
Let's say slapstick. It was a slapstick ritual.
In an absolutely a flavorific religious ritual in a jungle community in Panama in which indigenous residents were rounded up by about 10 lay preachers and tortured, beaten, burned, and hacked with machetes to make them quote-unquote repent for their sins.
Jeez.
Which seems to be a very extreme way to do that. 10 people were arrested. Police freed 14 members of the Ngabe Bugle indigenous troops. Definitely nailed that.
Definitely nailed it.
I think it's Ngabe Bugle, because they have the two accents on either side, who had been they've been tied up and beaten with wooden cudgels and Bibles.
Jeez.
On Thursday, the local prosecutor, Rafael Baloyes, described the chilling scene that investigators found when they made their way through the jungle-clad hills to the remote Ngabe Bugle indigenous community near the Caribbean coast on Tuesday. Alerted by 3 villagers who escaped and made their way to a local hospital for treatment earlier, police were prepared for something bad, but they were still surprised by what they found at an improvised church at a ranch where a little-known religious sect known as the New Light of God was operating.
Ooh.
And I could not find anything else on the New Light of God.
Okay, so the New Light of God is the church that was massacred by these crazy preachers. And my understanding is these preachers thought that this New Light of God was somehow satanic, but it doesn't seem like a satanic sect would be named the New Light of God.
No, they were specifically not satanic. They were weird Christian adjacent. And apparently they had a vision. They said one of the head priests told them that God had given them a message saying that the message boiled down to making everyone repent or die. Now, what you have is a situation where you have a group of people that they are in a very isolated part of the world. They don't have a lot of connection. Apparently it's like you have to climb a mountain and just to get anywhere near any place that would have like a library or any sort of like connection to the rest of the world, any sort of internet and any sort of news.
So they're super isolated.
They're very isolated, and it seems like they had sort of like this little cult, this church in the middle of the jungle, what has now been known as the New Light of God, and things maybe were going pretty well for a while, right? Having a nice time, things getting really intense, right? Maybe we know very little, but I imagine it might have been a little over the top, maybe Pentecostal a little bit, a lot of speaking in tongues.
No, I'm just going to say, I don't know if the New Light of God is the crazy one here. They might have just been like, we're trying to take things, we're going to be pretty moderate. It's more Unitarian. Come on in if you're down with Jesus. We got a kick-ass guitar-playing priest up there.
I do it for Christ. But then one day he wakes up and he's like, yeah, I know I've been playing funky jams all day and we have been having a lot of fun rooting and tooting, ragging and rolling. But today we are cutting off them clitorises.
Oh my.
It's about the clitorises you don't cut.
Excuse me, Father Patrick, great song, by the way, great music, but what was that lyric? Yeah, what was that lyric that you said about the clitoris is...
Can you hold that thought? Someone bring me my cudgels. This is going to be fun. What they did was that they started they flipped the script on a bunch of people and tied them all up and essentially said, which I imagine, I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that this is pretty terrifying, of you believe you have been purified by Christ already. You know, maybe there's been a lot of talk about how we are the new founders of a new church. We're restoring the new faith. How often do we see this?
Absolutely.
And then one day the head priest shows up and he says, you guys don't believe in God enough. He told me last night in a dream after I ate a bunch of Whataburger, right? So now I had a dream last night where you guys are all, and we're going to tie you up. And until I really believe that you believe in Jesus Christ, we're going to beat you and we're going to beat you and we're going to fucking hack at you with a bunch of machetes.
Jeez.
Hit you in the face with a Bible. My whole thing is that if you're hitting me with a Bible, I am not going to be as open to Jesus Christ as you'd want me to be.
You just got to say that you are, though. Just say, I think he's the GOAT. I think he's better than Brady.
I don't know, unless you got to be spanking me with it. You know what I'm saying?
Ooh, my goodness.
And you get a couple of big busty nuns in there, they're doing it all wrong.
I think you
get one big cock guy with a lot of good muscles on him, and you got a bunch of busty nuns in there, you get these people flipping for Jesus pretty easily.
Yeah, that's a good way to do it. As a matter of fact, there was a little bit of that component when I was growing up. We went to a church, of course, evangelical, and I forget the name of this group. They were like called Mastodons for God or something.
Oh, ones that would rip the phone books and do all that kind of shit?
Yeah, they would blow up water bottles.
I forget
bottles.
What the hell that was called. It's like...
The water bags or whatever the hell they were, those big old rubber bags, they would blow them up, bend steel around their necks, and they would say, thank you, Jesus, for giving us this strength. But the thing is, they worked out every day and took a bunch of steroids.
So yeah, that's what helped them. But steroids, God was in the steroids. They were called the power team. called the power team. These
my older brother,
guys, these are big boys.
My older brother is part of the power team as well, but that has a whole different meaning.
He's sort of in the lower floor. I believe he's a part of the power bottom team.
He indeed is a 7-foot horse of a man. So
man, he's supposed to be bucking like an anaconda.
He really is. Like an anaconda in that disgusting documentary, Don't Fuck With Cats. Luca Magnotta, by the way, we're going to talk about that doc a little bit here. Maybe in, are we going to talk about that in this episode?
Who knows?
Okay, so when the cops came on the scene, so the cops show up, as Henry said, the three villagers are like, hey, cops, there's a bunch of crap going on over here in our church.
Yeah, they escaped, right? They went through all this shit. They escaped. They got to the police officers. Oof. It was just, it's like a horror movie. It was a nude woman running out of the forest saying they are beating the fuck out of us.
Yes. So this is according to Meloes. He says they were performing in the, this is inside the church. These are the 10 preachers that invaded this church. They said inside the church, they were performing a ritual inside the structure. In that ritual, there were people being held against their will, being mistreated. All of these rites were aimed at killing them if they did not repent their sins. There was a naked person, a woman, inside the building where investigators found machetes, knives, and a ritually sacrificed goat. So these people were being held hostage in their church, being screamed at to repent, while being stripped and beaten. And it's just, you know, how do you even have time to say I repent when you're saying ouch so much?
That's why I feel like there's a lot of flaws.
There are.
In their rituals. And they went from Saturday to Tuesday.
Oh,
so they're doing
God.
This all night long, but apparently about a mile from the church building, authorities found a freshly dug grave with the corpses of 6 children and 1 adult. The dead included 5 children as young as a year old, their pregnant mother, and a 17-year-old female neighbor.
Okay.
So there is a lot of mayhem going on in there, and this is one of those stories of what happens when you're a part of one of these little offshoot churches. Sometimes they flip from the inside, and now you're stuck in the middle of it, and you just kind of have to read the room and figure out when do you say, hey, guys, you guys, Starbucks run? You guys want anything from Starbucks? And then you get the hell out of there.
You know, social media and the internet and technology has brought us some woes and some concerns and some anxiety. I'm going to say in this case, they could use a little tech. They could use just a little connection with the outside world so they don't get so convinced that their ideas are right that they end up killing 5 children and a pregnant woman. And again, that child as young as 1 year old. How do you even, if you're 1 year old, first of all, original sin, I believe that you're not, I believe that you are without sin until you're, there's like some date that a lot of religions have before you have to like come to Jesus. And if you die before that, they're like, ah, you're too young. You get in like Marty the Robot would still get in even though he's demonic.
I think it's 39 years old.
I got one more year.
So what they had said here, so I have a little further information. This is from the New York Times article. Diomedes Blanco, member of the community who helped police in the rescue, said that shortly before the killings, two people in the sect told him what they were doing. The reason for committing that kind of sacrifice was that God had anointed them to do all of these anomalies.
Huh.
The purpose of all of that was to destroy the community. Why? Because the community didn't want to believe in God. He said that this was a mass exorcism.
Really?
This idea is that he felt that they didn't want it enough, and so he decided to basically beat them all until they wanted it enough. What they call is, according to Andrew Chestnut, the professor of religious studies specializing in Latin America at Virginia Commonwealth University, who had been sitting by the phone because no one has been calling him in a while. He said that
the cobwebs off the phone. Is it wrong? He's like, what the hell is
they
that?
They like me. They need my expertise. Yes, an empanada. Well, that is, and they're like, no, sir, no, please stop describing empanadas. He called it a syncretic cult, which espouses a hodgepodge of beliefs stitched together with Pentecostalism at its core, but also elements of indigenous beliefs and even New Age philosophy. It reportedly talked about the importance of the third eye on a now deleted Facebook page. So they had a Facebook page.
Oh, goodness. All of the victims and all of the suspects were members of the same indigenous community. According to Ricardo Miranda, he's the leader of the Ngabi Bugle tribe. Bugle.
It's not the Bugle tribe. The Bugle tribe sounds like a group of people that they met in the Smurfs.
Oh, yeah, and they eat bugles. Oh, I love bugles. Underrated snack. Semi-autonomous zone. So that's the Bugles are in a semi-autonomous zone known as Camarca. They called the sect, quote, satanic. This is according to Miranda. He says, we demand the immediate eradication of this satanic sect, which violates all the practices of spirituality and coexistence in the holy scriptures.
Yeah,
I don't know what this sect possibly could have done to piss anybody off. I really don't. Like
It doesn't do anything, man. It's just bad. It's a bad cult. It's a bad cult.
It sounds like it. So the New Light of God Church, I guess it no longer exists because I think they kind of like killed everyone that belonged to it. Or maybe it comes back stronger than ever. Maybe this is you the got beginning it, of a civil war.
It's doing a pre-burn.
Ah, yes, of course.
See, isn't that nice?
All right.
Well, this is a very scary, what a very scary story. And I'm really glad that I'm in LA and the only cults I really bump against for the most part just want me to have crystals and drink green juice.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, again, if they could help me with an audition, you can fuck it around for a while.
Absolutely.
I mean,
well, maybe some green juice wouldn't hurt either of us. So there you go. Panama jungle, 7 killed, 14 tortured, and exorcism. I don't think that they should say exorcism ritual because I think it actually gives it too much of like, oh, they're there to help. It's not it's they're kinda, there to help.
It makes it cooler. It makes it a cooler story as far as I'm concerned.
I think it's
That's
more
what
of
I
a,
like about it.
Yeah.
I'll be down for an exorcism. I'd buy tickets to watch one from the side. That's what they should have done.
Yeah.
Put it on the road.
Well, isn't that they did that, right? What was the story that we covered where they used to do the exorcisms in public with all the nuns and
the
everything?
The Devils of Loubadon.
Yeah, that was very interesting.
That was very sexual.
For them, that was prime time. That was better than Tool time. That was better than anything Tim Allen. That's better than Last Man Standing. Watching
that's
an
difficult.
Exorcism was really
That is
compelling.
Difficult. Or as my mom says, every single time I go home, my mom loves Last Man Standing. She loves that fucking show. Every time she talks, she puts it on. She's like, she always asks me, do you watch Last Man Standing, Henry Thomas? I'm like, no, I don't. I wouldn't go out of my way. I think the last time I saw it, I was in an urgent care. And she said, oh, you got to watch it. It's the writers. No. That's who makes it. The writers are just so clever.
Man, it's just... It's so funny that we have to love these people because they are our parents. But I believe
no, I love you know
you have to you have they it's created just, you. But
that you don't have to.
No,
you don't have to love
you
your parents.
To.
But
no.
but I will say but, it's it they just very smartly positioned that show for my parents and everyone like them.
Everyone
love Last Man Standing.
They really have. She also and I believe my parents do as well. Love Young Sheldon. Big Bang Theory.
They couldn't be more pleased with watching Sheldon grow up. They're so excited to see how it began, where the humor began. I think Bazinga is like a thing in it too. Still, it's like described. I have not seen a minute of it.
I'm sure Bazinga is in there somewhere. Maybe he's
if they want to keep that audience, you want to keep them happy.
I literally think Luca Magnotta is less of a sociopath than Young Sheldon and Old Sheldon.
I wonder. Well, I'm glad you brought that up.
Let's talk about that.
I just want to quickly talk about how we both watched Don't Fuck With Cats, the Netflix documentary on Luca Magnotta, and it is very interesting.
What did you think? Did you think they did a good job of showing just enough of the animal torture? Because I was watching and literally
I didn't want to watch any more of that.
Definitely not.
That so, I saw. But I thought that it's important for you to see how real it is. And it's important for you to see the cats going in and the cats getting sucked up in the bags. I think that is important for you to see the seriousness of that.
When they showed him playing with the dead cats, it reminded me of the He-Man toys, like when you got the big lion toy that He-Man used to ride on or whatever. Like they were just so frozen.
Yeah, it's bad.
It was like, oh my God. Anyway.
Yeah, it's terrible. But I also think that they kind of really played up the Facebook sleuths in that, where technically they didn't help with the investigation.
Well,
but they were correct and no one listened to them. But so that means that technically they didn't do it. They didn't really get the message across. But
technically,
I am happy that there are people out there investigating these things.
Technically, that's the premise of my documentary, Hail Yourself America, yes. Where it's like, yes, no one listened to me until the subway station, but it's about being there, making a statement. It's about yourself. And I think the online sleuths overall did a good job. Let's just say, I'm just going to say the internet sleuths, they didn't really nail it to start, and then that led to potentially the demise of
an innocent person,
which they kind of just yada yadded over. And I'm like, didn't you all cyberbully this person?
They kind of just said that whatever happened to him was cool because he was being a jerk on the internet.
And he was.
I don't think that. He was not a nice person, but this we're being too vague for good radio.
Yes.
One thing that we had a question, though, last week, because we brought it up a little bit, like briefly, was that there was a second pair of hands.
Yes.
In one of the videos that had a snake that was brought in to consume a cat, that he shot the whole thing.
Yeah.
And there at the very beginning, there seemed to be some form of handler, which he said was the infamous Manny. The man that that's what Luca Magnotta came out to say,
yes.
That he was at the behest and he was a prisoner of someone that was making him do these things. But it seems like a researcher from CBC's Fifth Estate, the documentary, reportedly went, and this comes from this, I just found this on studentproblems.com. So I don't know who this is from, by Tom Chapman.
Is this really a student problem?
I don't know. I don't know.
All the issues facing our students right now?
But with one of the original internet sleuths, John Green, and CBC's research, seems that a female neighbor has confessed she was the woman holding the python. And that she essentially, from what seems to be conjectured, in the most Canadian, one of the more Canadian things about this story, is that she let him borrow her snake.
What?
No questions asked. And my whole thing is that never let anybody borrow a pet.
No.
You never know what they're going to do with it. If somebody says the words, hey, can I borrow your dog? They're teaching that dog to suck his dick with a bunch of peanut butter.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm saying
that's horrible.
That.
You're saying
you never,
that?
You could never borrow an animal. You can visit somebody with an animal.
Sure.
You can have somebody snake sit. Like,
sure.
If you got to go someplace and you could snake sit.
If you're feeling down, I could bring Puffin to go see you, and then maybe Puffin could make you happy. Sure.
Absolutely. By sucking my dick with a bunch of peanut butter.
No, no,
no. That's only
Henry Zabrowski,
in the room.
Your blood pressure is going through the roof. You're talking about something disgusting again. That's what that means. You're going to die.
But I'm just saying, never let anybody borrow your python. Your python.
A lesson that we did not know we had to make.
You should keep it in your home. I
agree.
It's not an out animal unless you're one of those cool people out by like Santa Monica Pier.
Right. Yes. They play with their snakes out in public.
But obviously there's many conjectured. A lot of people. There's still a lot of heat here. There's people that straight up believe in Luca Magnotta. And they believe that he was manipulated. I also believe that he is very, very sick. I think he's a sick person. If you listen, he actually released an interview from jail recently.
Okay.
Where he obviously is talking to himself with farmed questions that he has got out. And about, again, talking about this man. Lopez character, which I do not believe is real.
No,
I believe none of that is real. So who knows? Who knows?
Interesting. Okay, well, that answers a big question that I think everyone had, because they did not answer that in the documentary. That is kind of a flaw on the documentarians, honestly, because it's the only question that after the documentary you kind of go through the list. You're like, that was crazy. And then you're like, but what about that one thing? They probably should have put a button on that in the doc. But it's nice that we finally get a little conclusion on that. And Luca Magnotta's mother, I actually feel bad for her because obviously she's extremely mentally ill. And
yes.
What happens when you raise a demon? It's got to suck. It's got to be so weird to know that you are the creation of something that ends lives. Because technically, you've done a horrible job. Whatever. However you did it, you did a bad job.
I don't even know if I could say if you did a bad job. What do you do when you might be mentally ill, and then your son is also of the same stripe, and then you kind of create this world where the two of you are just not helping each other. And it is very scary. There's a documentary about it that I've seen a bunch of times. It was just, there's one called Children of Rage.
Yes.
And HBO has another one, which I've brought up many, many times.
Yes.
That, one second.
Children of Rage is truly horrifying. if you ever want to be just scared to death of the eyes of a 9-year-old.
Another one I've talked about, I think a bunch, is called The Dangerous Son, which is on HBO. That's another one that is very frightening because what do you do? It's part of the reason why we're not having kids. It's because Natalie and I are both like, could I raise a genius that was perfect? Yes. Sure. A kid that can run on its own?
That's Sheldon.
Got to do its own stuff? Yeah, I'd take a Sheldon.
You want to raise young Sheldon.
A young Sheldon. But I don't want an older Sheldon. You know what I mean? I don't want to see him after that time period. I also believe that a child could be like raised in a boarding school. I think you could take a child out and send it to one of those big drafty Victorian homes where they're taught to survival skills and how to cook but also physics, like kind of almost like a Hermann Hesse. Kind of the whatever that glass ball problem thing is, where they're doing like weird kind of Professor X mind games in a thing where they're doing like psychic exercise with giant glass beads.
Yeah, well, I think you and Natalie have a great chance of raising, just birthing a genius. That is going to happen to all of us.
Whatever it is, that's the problem too, is that it has to look like her.
Freaking
it
better.
It has to.
If you get a girl that looks like you and a boy that looks like her, it's, everyone's beautiful.
Wow.
Live from your grave.
My sister is the best gift giver I've ever met of any person. It's Jackie Zabrowski. She shops all year thinking about her family and friends and puts little things aside for their birthdays and Christmases. I have no idea how she does it. I don't know how she do it. But guess what? She always wins Mother's Day, but not this year. I'm coming back. Ready to win Mother's Day and cement your reputation as the best gift giver in the family? I'm taking the crown! All right, give the moms in your life an Aura digital picture frame preloaded with decades of family photos. I mean this. We have the Aura frame up in my home. We absolutely love it. I can put photos on it very, very easily through the app. It's fun to do, and the memories keep cycling, and I get emotional, and we filled it with pictures of Carmi and Wendy, and that is not sad. That is celebratory, so you should try it. It's honestly a really good product. Right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off, plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code LEFT at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply. This podcast is brought to you by Squarespace. Finding work-life balance can be tough, but Squarespace gives you the tools to reach your goals and have time to celebrate. Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. With the new guided design system, Squarespace Blueprint, you can select from curated layout and styling options to create a personalized website optimized for every device. Get your website discovered fast with integrated, optimized SEO tools. Plus, make checkout easy for customers with easy-to-use payment tools. And with Squarespace AI, you can explain what your site is about, choose your tone, enter what you need, and get auto-generated text. And that helps you save time. I know I'm sitting on about 2 literal wheelbarrows filled with horse pics. Now, part of the issue is a lot of these pictures are getting stopped at customs because some of them do depict various world leaders in horse-like circumstances that seems to be pinging a lot of these custom agents' accounts. Now, so what I've done to do is like, so while I'm trying to work on hand smuggling these horse pics over various country borders, I then also have time, because Squarespace is doing all the other ad work for me, to go and work on my killdozer at home. So thank you, Squarespace, for allowing me to diversify in the best way possible for this country. Head to squarespace.com for a free trial when you're ready to launch. Go to squarespace.com/left to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It says here I have to talk about something I need to get off my chest, and I guess I can share it here. I eat mayonnaise for fun. It's a hobby of mine, and it's an addiction. And it's a daily weight on my life, how much I need whipped egg whites and oil crammed into my veins as soon as I wake up. And a lot of people carry around a lot of different stressors, big and small. Some people are presidents. Some people are soldiers. Some people have to eat mayonnaise, especially with hard-boiled eggs, which is what I eat for lunch. But I guess I should share that in therapy. Because therapy is a safe place to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. And what I do is I just add eggs if I have mayonnaise left over. I just continue to add the eggs. But if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. I hope they can help me. My God. I hope they can help me. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/lastpod today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/lastpod. 1 in 5 Americans have learned a new language on their bucket list. If that's you, make 2024 the year you finally check it off the list with Babbel. Be a better you in 2024 with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Don't pay hundreds of dollars for private tutors. It's a waste. Don't waste hours on apps. Besides appetizers, that's the kind of apps I like. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Did you know that empanada is already Spanish? I didn't. Thanks, Babbel. Did you know that burrito is already Spanish? Wow. I just got to learn all the rest. And eventually, I'm going to be eating downtown Mexico. Thanks, Babbel. Here's a special limited time deal for our listeners. Right now, get 60% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at Babbel.com/left. Get up to 60% off at Babbel.com/left, spelled Babbel.com/left. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Live from your grave.
All right. Well, this story I just want to talk about because we've talked about crisps before here in the past. We talked about how someone just one crisp in their bag of crisps.
You have. Again, we have not. This is not a direction that you and I take the show. This is a direction that you take the show.
This was going to be Hero of the Week, but I've decided against it. Janine Ross, she's 38 years old. She was absolutely shocked and shook when she opened up her bag of crisps, and she found a 15-centimeter large Best Sweet Chili Crisp for Morrison's. Janine said it was hard to get an exact reading as to how long the onion ring bends and twists, but she says if it was straightened, it would beat the previous British record and world title.
I'm so pissed right now that you just said that. So it's not even that big. She's saying if it was straight, it would be huge.
There have been bigger crisps made.
Show me the picture. Show me the fucking picture.
I'm going to take a screenshot and send it to you right now because you say, oh, what's the big deal? There's been larger crisps, but there hasn't been a larger crisp in the wild. Previous larger crisps
have
been made.
This isn't the fucking Serengeti. Yes. All right, these things are not coming out of like crisp fields.
No.
You're not being born.
There have been larger crisps, but you know what, Henry? Those were specifically produced to set the record. This is a crisp in a wild, and it's a sausage-shaped crisp. And
Send it to me.
I sent you a picture of it.
Did you text it to me?
I texted it to you. It's in your text right now. You're going to be amazed. I want to see your first reaction when you see a picture
of this.
All
right, you ready?
Yeah.
Ready for this?
Ready?
Wow.
Pretty big crisp. And
it is a cocked shape onion cock.
When you see
it, this is so stupid.
When you see it in the context of Janine Ross's daughter's hand, Izzy, you can really see how large it is. Kind of looks like
no,
a tremor.
No, how big is Izzy? How old is Izzy?
Okay, another screenshot coming your way, buddy, because you are about to have your mind blown. Now, this is not a crime. No, it is not. But I do find it to be very interesting, and we're also a news show. So
this is disgusting. You know what? I hate this picture because this looks like that old joke of why pedophiles have sex with children because it makes their penises look big in their hands.
What is that old joke? What are
this
you talking
a,
about? This isn't the playground.
I miss the old Reddit standard of putting the banana next to it.
God damn it, Henry. You are ridiculous. Your old Polish jokes are just disgusting sentences in any other world. So anyway, a woman has found what she believes to be the world's largest crisp. It measures a whopping 20 centimeters long. So congratulations, Janine Ross. You've done it. You're not the hero of the week, but you are a hero of my heart.
You weren't good enough.
She was good enough.
No, she wasn't. She didn't do enough. She just found a crisp.
She found it in the wild.
Did they eat it?
No, you got to save it to be measured by the world's. You got to do Guinness. You got to do Guinness Book of World Records.
What kind of cockamamie bullshit is that? I would have eaten it.
The previous record was 15 centimeters, and this is 20 centimeters. So anyway, that is kind of a fun story. It's not a crime. Except for
it looks like the shit I just took.
It does. It really does. Okay.
Which is actually bad.
Well, let's move on. Speaking of stories involving, there's really
something
no segue
horrible
here. There's no, yeah, stories involving something horrible. Although,
well,
it's not
we got several horrible pictures. Okay, what do we want? We want a family annihilator, or do we want something from the courts?
I don't know what happened so far in 2020, but people, I'm just gonna say, take a chill pill. Let's do this one, Henry. Speaking of children, obviously that girl was holding up the large crisp. This serial killer's son followed in his father's footsteps a little bit differently. Evidently, there's a serial killer. He's a son of a murderer. He has been arrested after hundreds of bones belonging to young women are found in his pond in Thailand. This is John Wayne Gacy's dream come true.
But no, it's not. He threw them all in the pond like he was fucking Kermit the Frog.
Well, but John Wayne Gacy, after he ran out of floor space, he threw them all in the lake
as well. In the river, yeah. He got him in the river. So he just threw these women in the pond?
I guess so. He's a wealthy property heir, Apache Anguissit. He's 40 years old. He's been arrested in Bangkok. Body of his former girlfriend, Warenthorn Chayachat. I'm sorry. She was 22. She was found in the pond. Police found hundreds of more bones, believing to be at least from three people. So this guy's father, he was jailed in 1983 for butchering a 15-year-old girl. So it seems like this kind of sociopathy runs in the family. This dude evidently, pictures show the police found the body wrapped in clothes, a bedsheet, and a black plastic bag. The body had been fastened to the bottom of the pond with large metal objects and dumbbells with chains. Anguissit allegedly made his girlfriend, known to friends as Kik or Keek, sleep in a metal casket. He was so worried she would leave him. Officers have claimed that she was suffocated and then hurled into the pond. Her remains were found January 9th. So do you think that being a serial killer, and maybe this can go out to our audience, sidestorieslpotl@gmail.com, is it genetic?
I don't know. I think that there are probably traits that are passed on that make you maybe more likely depending on your circumstances. I'm not quite certain. I do believe that you, because you look at what's her name, BTK's daughter.
Right.
Is now, she's not a serial killer, but she wrote a book about the love of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Something going on inside of her brain. And then you got, I'm trying to think who else had children of all of them. Wayne Gacy, we don't know anything about those kids, really.
Ted Bundy's daughter sort of came out of the woodwork and was like,
His granddaughter apparently came
out. Strange thing to brag about. So,
but she's on TikTok, so I don't know if that is a sign of mental illness. I don't think so. I think a lot of people like TikTok.
Well, it is a sign of mild mental illness, though, as well. So
no, people enjoy it. It's kind of fun out there, I think. People like it because they like to lip sync the songs, and they like to, I don't know, kids got to express themselves.
They really do. So authorities, they found, through a fishing expedition, 298 bones. The family of a missing 12-year-old who lived near the property, they believe that she is in the pond as well. Authorities are planning to drain the pond for their investigation. He has been dubbed by local media the metal casket killer. Which, of course, it's not a serial killer if we don't have a clever little name for him. The police chief said the investigation has found that several women who were involved with the culprit have disappeared. They included his friends, girlfriends, and prostitutes. Again, the police chief continues, we have found 298 bones in the pond so far, Jesus, but could not clarify that how many of those bones were, how many humans those bones were from. I would assume 298.
I think that it's really important for this is one of those definitely don't put all your eggs in one basket. Because when it comes down to it, he did a very poor job of hiding those bodies. You can't just toss them into a pond.
No,
you
got to
put more.
Not.
I'm going to say this, and I don't want to help you in doing this, but if you are killing people, you need an exit strategy. You need an end game. You need to figure out how to get rid of these bodies. Without a body, it's very difficult for them to pin a crime on you. And again, I'm not trying to help you. I'm just trying to say, get rid of the teeth, get rid of the hands, get rid of the feet, get rid of the head. It's actually probably best for you to hold on to the head for as long as humanly possible. Keep it on your property. So it's very difficult for somebody to come and look for it, right? So someplace either deep underground or put it in a kind of like a maybe even a cooler.
Keep it
in a basement.
Well, don't do any of that. That's not good stuff, and it'll make your house smell all bad, and then you're going to go to prison forever because you're a murderer, and that's
not good. But eventually, the smell becomes neutral.
Not to you it does, but to everyone else, you're the house that smells like decomposing bodies. Everyone's going to make fun of you. They're going to burn your house down like you're Freddy Krueger.
The only people that are coming to that house are getting murdered anyway.
Oh, my goodness. So there you go. Who knows what's going to happen here? It looks like this guy has killed a bunch of people. Just be careful. The girlfriend had made previous complaints to the cops. No one did anything. There's also a beautiful tattoo, the remains of the property of the girlfriend. She's pictured above here in this Daily Mail article. She has a gorgeous back tattoo, and that was one of the identifying marks. The cops were like, that's her. So there you go. Potential serial killer in Bangkok. Son of another murderer. And
God,
I guess
crazy.
The acorn didn't fall too far from the tree in that family.
Oh, here we go. Let me tell. So I'm gonna save this family annihilator story for next week because I want to get into it. I'm gonna say this. Here's a fun story.
Okay.
This comes from the Des Moines Register.
Oh.
Man requests trial by combat with Japanese swords to settle dispute with Iowa ex-wife. This is by Anna Spoer. A Kansas man has asked an Iowa court to grant his motion for trial by combat so he can meet his ex-wife and her attorney on the field of battle where he will rend their souls from their corporeal bodies.
Okay, hold on. This is for custody? This is a custody battle?
This is just a I don't know.
This is not going to help him get the kids back to be like, oh, trial by samurai sword? This
gotta kill mommy. Gotta kill mommy to get him. That's how it is. David Ostrom, 40, of Paola, Kansas, in court documents said that his ex-wife, Bridget Ostrom, has destroyed him legally. He asked the Iowa District Court in Shelby County to give him 12 weeks lead time in order to source or forge katana and wakizashi swords. To this day, trial by combat has never been explicitly banned or restricted as a right in these United States, Ostrom argues in court records, adding that it was used as recently as 1818 in British court.
That's a little bit loose recently. Of the term recently. That's 200 years ago. So, all right.
They've said that apparently it is not abolished. It's not abolished. And then they are now fighting each other. They said that he believes that he is attacking his wife's divorce attorney's absurdity with my own absurdity. Ostrom, who said he plans to request the same mediation tactic for any other disputes that may arise in court, added that his ex-wife can choose her attorney as a champion or stand-in fighter, which is pretty amazing.
This is what he told the paper. He said, I think I've met Mr. Hudson's absurdity. As Henry just said, I've met Mr. Hudson's absurdity with my own absurdity. If Mr. Hudson is willing to do it, I will meet him. I don't think he has the guts to do it.
Yep, that's true. Historically, it is said in court records, trial by combat was not always won by way of death, but also when a party cries craven, yielding to the other. Respondent and counsel have proven themselves to be cravens by refusing to answer the call to battle. Thus, they should lose this motion by default, Ostrom wrote, adding that if the other party decided otherwise, he wants to proceed with a blunted practice style of swordplay, which I think is very fair.
I don't know. Either way, the judge didn't really go with this.
No.
I'm pretty sure that was dismissed.
He's lost everything.
Yes. Hudson referred to himself as, quote, a potential combatant, as they were sort of laughing at this man's demand for a samurai battle to see who gets custody of the children. I'm going to say this. The way that the judge and the attorney for the ex-wife reacted, they laughed at him. In this case...
Oh, yeah, dude. They're all dead men.
Yeah.
They're all dead people.
In this case, I think you have to pretend to take it seriously and then find some legal argument to say... We'd love to, but we just can't.
Technically, if it's raining on the Thursday that is chosen, we have to re-choose our fighting field, and this fighting field is not available, so unfortunately, you're just going to have to give me the house the car.
What if they just did a Ren Faire-style duel? That's what he's saying.
He wanted to do the blunted swordplay version. He said that you can opt for that, and then one can call, cry craven and admit defeat, and that's something to do. He doesn't have to kill them. But that is not fun, and that's not fair. I think you need to kill them.
So the lawyer for the ex-wife said that this is obviously a potentially life-ending ramifications of a duel that surely outweigh their fight over property tax and custody issues.
Well, let me ask you this, Kissel. If I might try to, this is a brilliant plan. This is very, very smart to do. If I were to enter in some form of, God knows what crime I will eventually be pinned on, what they'll pin on me.
Tax evasion.
To stop me.
We already tax know evasion. It's going to be tax evasion. Half of our conversations are about you scheming to hide your money, and none of your ideas make sense. You're like, what if shoes were money? They can't take your shoes from you, can they?
I got some pushback from Natalie when I asked her to put on a fake pregnant belly and go down to the Caribbean all filled with the fake pretty all filled with cash. I got some pushback.
Good.
But I would say if I am going to do that, I might do this. Kissel, will you be my champion?
In what sense?
You fight as a representative of me.
You want me to be your blaster? You want a master blaster situation?
What is this entire relationship building towards?
You're the one with high blood pressure. You should fight. You got
beep,
all
beep,
the
beep.
Anger.
Beep, beep, beep. No. I'll die just in prep. I need someone that is going to go and fight for me. Fight as if it's himself.
Uh-huh. Well,
And I tell you what, my good dear sir, you'll never pay for a Bud Light again in your life.
I'll be dead.
No, not if you win.
What am I even defending you for?
My crimes.
You want me, so
because
you're
you would
be,
know
you're gonna have tax
you would
evasion.
Know
you're
me
be...
so well. You would know me so you know me. You know me.
I do
okay?
know.
Okay, I'm the same Henry I've always been. I've never changed. I'm not changing, right? You know me, friends for years.
Yeah,
you
but
know
some...
that in my heart of hearts, I didn't mean to like make everybody get in a tizzy with my crimes, and I would never do something that I necessarily felt would like try to hurt a lot of people. I just you
do
know
you have any
I'm
idea how hard it is
family.
To hide money overseas. You have to premeditate. You have to talk to people. You got to figure it all out. It's
no,
very
I do it all on my own. Again, keep wall facer. I like the wall facers. I keep in my own mind. I keep a plan within me. I tell no one else. I have three contingency plans that no one knows.
Apparently,
know
one of them
are.
Is me fighting the battles for you. And I'm assuming the wall facers are something to do with Dune. And I don't want to go.
No,
down
it's
that
not
route.
Dune. It's three body problem. But I did not bring up Dune. But I'm saying so. You would not be my champion. You would not come to my aid. When you receive the messenger bird?
I'll have to see. I'll figure it out. I'll
so
have
you're gonna,
to see.
You're going to Bernie me?
I'm not going to Bernie you. I'm going to support you. So Judge Craig Dressmeyer was not amused. This is what the judge said regarding the idea of a duel to see who gets custody of the children. This is the judge. Until the proper procedural steps to initiate a court proceeding are followed, this court will take no further action concerning any motion, objection, or petition filed by either party at this time. So this
oh, he's
man
getting,
literally
he's
broke.
Getting hosed.
This man yeah. literally broke the court system. They're like, we're done. Nothing
we're done.
Else. We're done.
We don't want to talk to you anymore. You're not getting anything. You are now essentially a homeless man. Congratulations. Aww. You have nothing now. We're going to strip everything from you as fast as humanly possible.
You know, divorce is not easy, but I feel like if you married someone and you loved, Why is divorce always so hard? If you still, don't you, people it's act very crazy.
It's very contentious.
Yeah, why do they it's hate very, each other so much, though? I don't know.
It's hard because people don't talk. You can't have, I'm trying to work on these kind of ideas. You gotta be able to figure out how to have the hard conversations, too, which is very difficult. When I, when that's going off,
uh-oh,
no one's gonna be able to, but I actually hope that that could actually even help me with some form of sympathy.
Yeah, that's very true. Okay, well, I think it's time for Hero of the Week. This Hero of the Week, you know what? This is not just a hero. This is a community. And the hero community this week are furries. You know, people make fun of the furries. They say, oh, they're just, you know, deviants out there doing weird things. But in reality,
I love them. I honestly, I'm pro furry.
They got to
go
be,
let them come all over each other. I think it's great. And a lot of them, it's not very sexy, apparently, a lot of the times. Sometimes no. It's just about fellowship.
Absolutely. Everyone likes to be a raccoon or a fox or a panda bear.
Not everybody.
Not everyone.
But some people do.
So these furries, they were just having a good time. They were drinking that night. They were having a nice time. A dude named Steven Rodriguez, he's 26 years old. He was in full furry costume. He was like, I need to go outside and have a smoke. As he's out there smoking, which sounds very dangerous for a furry because you could just go up like that. I feel like
a
you
lot
could
of
just,
that stuff's very flammable. Yeah. You really should watch it with some of those more artificial fabrics.
Absolutely. So maybe stick with your vapes. That might be better. As he's outside smoking his cigarette, risking his own life, he heard a car screech to a halt in the middle of South Market Street. And from the inside came a woman's horrified scream. Get out! Get out! Get out! Rodriguez called. That's what she was saying, recalled in the car. Rodriguez says it was pretty intense. A self-described, quote, silent observer of furry culture who traveled from Azusa in Southern California to attend the convention's after-hours hotel parties. He says, we saw the passenger just wailing on her, just full-on punch. So Rodriguez said, this is not going to happen on my watch. At that moment, a group of about five people still in furry suits from the day's festivities sprinted over, restrained the man as he attempted to hit Rodriguez, who had already run over. Among the first on the scene was a pink dinosaur who wrestled the suspect by the head and shoulders while a massive tail bobbed in his wake.
Wow.
Then a tiger knelt to restrain the man from his torso. And from the torso as a platform-heeled cowboy watched on. Within a few minutes, San Jose police arrived, took over for the six people restraining the man, and they said these people are heroes. The furries slowly dispersed after giving police their statements. Rodriguez said, both disgusted by what they had seen, but pleased by the way things had worked out. He says it happened very, very fast, and it was just a horrible thing to see. But overall, everyone was happy that we stepped in. So thank you, furries. You don't mess with furries. They've been through it all. And if they're dressed up in costume, they're basically superheroes.
I mean, I wouldn't assume it, but I think that it's nice they did here.
But
and I think a good concerted group effort, and I think that they do seem like a living version of, I want to say, some Saturday morning cartoon show.
I think that is, there needs to be a furry fighter show. There needs to be.
I would see that in a second.
I guess technically there already are a lot of, what is it, anamorphic?
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 I know there's the anamorphs.
Yeah, there's already a lot of stuff out there that I think furries relate to. But furries, you are this week's Hero of the Week, specifically those furry heroes who stopped this horrible man from beating this woman. And they said, no can do, sir. Yes, I'm dressed as a raccoon, but my friend, I am going to bite and scratch you until the cops arrive and detain you. So
this is why you have to be my champion.
Yes, but I do firmly believe once you're in costume, Henry, you know this as an actor, once you get in costume, you're not the same man as you once were.
No, you don mask, and then you wonder, who are you?
Right.
Are you Robo the Horny Fox, or are you Dave? Most of the time, you're Dave.
Well, when,
but
you,
when you put the head on.
How long, because of course you have Your Pretty Face Is Going to Hell and Adult Swim. Gary, mm-hmm. when you're dressed as Gary, how long does it take you to get into character? Is it when the final horn goes on and you're like, and now I'm Gary Bunda?
No, I've always been Gary Bunda.
You are.
It's
Gary
always
Bunda.
Right under the surface.
It's always right there. Okay.
It's always right there. All right, let's do some listener emails.
All right.
So this was a doozy. This comes from A. I was reminded of something when you briefly mentioned the Raelians on this week's episode about Heaven's Gate. I am an ICU nurse, and a patient I had once experienced severe trauma to her genitals, and there was talk about her eventually needing clitoral reconstruction.
Ooh.
Being curious about how this was done, I researched the topic and came across an organization called Clitoraid.
No.
Besides sounding like a very sketchy Gatorade knockoff, this is actually an organization run by the Raelians that they say this. I didn't find evidence on that, but I will look deeper into that.
Okay.
That funds clitoral reconstruction, usually in cases of female genital mutilation, as unfortunately seen in some African cultures.
Yep.
According to what I read, the Raelian movement... Yes. According to what I read, the Raelian movement sees sexual gratification and masturbation as important parts of the human experience, so they are funding hospitals in rural Africa to perform these surgeries and restore women's sexual function, which sounds very nice.
That's
so
great.
In terms of things that alien cults are known for, I figure this is actually pretty positive.
Honestly,
and if you look up Clitoraid... I mean, I'd buy it if it was a drink, but it seems to be they're doing well. So sometimes these people, you know, it's the broken clock is correct two times a day.
Honestly, that is very good. And female genital mutilation is a serious problem that must
Thank
be taken
Thank you, Kissel,
serious.
For clarifying. I'm really
it
glad
is.
That you did that. I'm
it
glad
is.
That is our official stance here.
It's disgusting. It's very sad.
I am against it.
I am against it.
Horrible. All right, here we go. I've been asking for some boots on the ground, and I really enjoy this.
Okay.
All right. This comes from M. This is a Papa John Schnatter update.
Oh, my.
I used to sell home security systems, and one of our installers I work with worked on his home security system. I was informed his house wasn't built like a house, but more like a commercial building. They had to drill wires through his floors, which were commercial standard concrete. Fuck yeah, that's like fucking Lido too.
Yeah.
He also had a large garage under his house that had a turntable so that he could pull in and out and turn his cars around with the push of a button.
Cool.
Fucking dope, you're making me a fan. Years later, I worked at Papa John's corporate in a tech support center. When he was entertaining other business people in suits, he would wear the same red shirt and jeans top with a large-shouldered tweed sports coat. The jacket made him look like Hep Cat from the Paula Abdul music video, except not as cool. There was one instance where I was on the phone working, and someone behind me was talking extremely loud, making it hard for me to hear my call. I turned around and back, and I could see a man wearing nylon gym pants with cowboy boots.
Nylon
when
gym
I looked
pants?
Up the yes. When I looked up to tell him to be quiet because I was trying to work, I saw it. It was none other than Papa John Schnatter. And it says him going, yes, it's important for me to be able to be as limber as possible because I hate the idea of my jeans snagging on my leg hairs because my leg hairs get so stiff when I'm working on the weights.
I believe it. All
and
right.
So this blew my mind. Papa John's corporate is also home to the presidential limo. There is a presidential limo housed in every state for the president of the United States. The one in Kentucky just so happens to be at Papa John's.
What?
In the lower level garage. Yes. Hopefully this is not this is not blowing up national security. I forget which floor there are Secret Service offices in the building. On all of our desks, we had a sheet to teach us how to deal with bomb or terror threats.
Isn't that nice to have to deal with? Wow. So the Trump limo, the presidential limo, currently the Trump limo, it's in Papa John's headquarters. You got to get a slice when you're there.
It's fucking incredible.
All right,
here's
amazing.
Another one. There's another update. This comes from N. In a recent episode of Side Stories, you feature a story about someone who had their arm amputated and was able to bring it home with them.
Mm-hmm.
I remember you two being baffled at the fact that it was simply given in a red garbage bag, even questioning whether there were nicer options. Well, I can tell you, as far as I know, the red garbage bag is the best and only option you have. I work as an SPCA, Surgical Patient Care Associate, which is essentially a fancy title for operating room janitor. I'm the person who cleans the ORs after surgeries, amongst other things. Such things include delivering amputated limbs to the frozen section. Uh-huh. Every limb I've had to deliver has been in one of those red garbage bags, and as it goes in the hospital I work in, taken to a freezer that looks like a normal, albeit outdated, refrigerator. As far as I'm aware, there isn't any other form of limb receptacle. Just want to let you guys know.
Thank you so much. I mean, if we ever lose an arm, I guess we'll be walking out with a red bag. I'll give it to Marcus. He'll love a human.
No, I'm holding it in my other hand. I'm holding it in my other hand.
Oh, my God.
Swab your dog. And watch The Lighthouse. Have you seen The Lighthouse yet?
I have not seen it yet. I've heard.
Swab your dog.
I am very excited. I've heard that we get quite into the anatomy of a mermaid. Which I am happy.
It's great, man. I love it. So much fun.
Yes, absolutely.
All right, so here's a little, one last little weird one, and then we'll end. Throughout my childhood, my family would see classic floating light UFOs, bright lights moving too fast to be a plane, hovering strangely, bunching together and spreading apart before disappearing. That's like my panties. These were so commonplace that eventually we convinced, no, that was me. I added
it. I know that was you, and I don't want to think about it.
They disappear into somewhere. And it goes into my ass cage.
I know that.
These are so commonplace that eventually we convinced ourselves that these were just airplanes circling the land at DIA. I'm not so convinced anymore. However, the most terrifying thing I've seen was what my sister and I called the light people. We had heard stories of people seeing strange lights all over the mountains surrounding Horse Tooth Reservoir, around 20 miles from where we lived. Now, this is in the plains of Colorado. Some people even reported that these lights were actually strange, emotionless people carrying bright lamps, just wandering around the mountainside. Huh. In fact, my sister's criminal justice professor in college reported an encounter with these people where he was a young cop. Apparently, he was working late at night when a call came in about weird activity up at the lake, possibly some illegal overnight camping. So he goes up with his partner in his patrol car and is parked for only moments when a fucking figure carrying a bright blue lamp emerged from the woods.
Huh.
He said he got out of his car to speak to this person, and the person, a bald man, stared at him with a blank, unblinking look before running back into the woods. What the fuck? So naturally, my sister and I decided to go check it out ourselves. We drove up high as hell at 3 a.m.
Good.
This is great, guys. Don't do this anymore, but it is fun. I miss being like that. You know, to up the creep factor and to guarantee the shitting of pants so we actually see something. And sure as shit, about 20 minutes after getting to the lake, we counted 4 moving, blinking blue lights across the mountainside. We watched them across the lake, and I'll never forget the way the lights reflected on the water. It was so eerie. They move like something or someone was walking with them through the trees.
Cool.
Needless to say, we were there long enough to count the lights before speeding out of there. To this day, I still don't know what to make of it. Creepy-ass crazy cult members wandering the mountain at night for some strange ritual. Aliens, drugged out illegal campers with matching blue lights and lots of late-night wanderlust. Someday I'll go back. But until then, I'm way too spooked.
I love it. And of course, they were super stoned by speeding away. They mean 14 solid miles.
Good job, man. You're going to fucking break the fucking sound barrier, man.
All right, everyone. Thank you all so much for listening to this week's Side Stories. You can always email us at sidestoriespotl@gmail.com. We love hearing from you. And this is a reminder. We will be exclusive to Spotify February 14th. That's the day of love. It's the day of Valentine's Day.
It's the day of love. It's the corporate day of love.
It's the corporate
day of love. You can celebrate it if you want. But you know, they're making us do it.
They're making us do it. And this is my little recommendation. Go out the day before or the day after Valentine's Day because they jack up their prices on Valentine's Day at an Applebee's all the way down to your table, farm to table spot.
Stay in and fuck.
Do that?
On Valentine's Day, stay in and fuck or come to Los Angeles after midnight premiere. It's going to be the Sunset 6. Come out. Come see it.
I'm going to
be doing a Q&A there. This is the After Midnight. We're doing a premiere.
Very excited. Well, explain what After Midnight is. So After Midnight,
it's a horror film that I was in last year.
Yep.
And we're getting our wide release. We're getting a full-on theatrical release. It's called After Midnight. Check it out. In Los Angeles, I'll be there running the Q&A with the directors.
Hell yes. We were walking in, we had just parked in Los Angeles. We were going to go to a weed store because I stocked up on my vapes for my dry January. And I must say, that has been a lifesaver.
And it is.
This person comes up. He's like, oh, I'm a huge fan of you guys. And then he mentioned that he was working on this film After Midnight with Henry. And I said, what the hell is this movie all about? And then Henry told me, so check this movie out because Mr. Zabrowski is in a horror film. And I'm sure it's going to tittle it and scare the pants off you. But put your pants on before you go back outside because that's still a felony.
I guess so. I guess it is in this fucking improper world. But guys, remember, live your life like you lost your hand and now you got it in your other hand.
Woohoo!
I carry my own hat.
That's double hand.
This is mine. Swab your dog. Swab.
Gotta laugh. Yep. You gotta laugh like you're Robert Pattinson just listening to the Willem Dafoe fart. And I wonder how many times he farted in that movie. I wonder if it was for real.
Oh, in The Lighthouse.
There's a lot of farts in it. It's fun.
Is there really?
Yeah, you should see.
I can't wait to see it.
And love. Love on any day of the year. Doesn't have to be Valentine's Day, even though we're exclusive to Spotify. Love any day of the year. It's the 13th, the 17th, the 19th, the 21st. Love on those days, too. And if you're home alone on the 14th, like let's say you don't have a significant other, or they died in a fire, or they lost their everything that was sexual about them in the war.
Sure.
What I would say you should do is give yourself one of those nice, long masturbation sessions. Or you light the candles, you're lubing up the balls today. You know what I mean? All day. Let it last long. Let's scream.
All right. Yes. Or, I mean, it doesn't matter. Valentine's Day is a corporate make 'em up, and I'm sure whatever that day consists of for you, it will be a wonderful day. Don't be sad.
Very good way of covering all ground.
Thank you. All right, everyone. Thank you all so much for listening. And you know what, folks? Never forget. Hail yourselves.
Hail Satan.
Magustalations.
Hail me.
Ooh, I think, I have L. Ron Hubbard's ghost on the phone. He says, if you sign up now for only $500 a month, you can get a small role in Young Sheldon.
Oh! Whoa!
No! No!
Wow.
This show is made possible by listeners like you. Thanks to our ad sponsors, you can support our shows by supporting them. For more shows like the one you just listened to, go to lastpodcastnetwork.com.
Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of 6 live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle, because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider, and also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.